Blog Talk Radio.
Something tells me that you're the kind of guy that I should make a move on.
I get exotic with the melodic tune. I get hypnotic with the moon, but you got to put me down soon. I flip a shot show if you come my way. Up, down, and around, even sideways. I'm about as ready as the light can get. We can go all out. I ain't afraid of the sweat, but yet I bet you got the techniques to freak a girl inside out. What's that all about? Can I have some of that? You gotta put me on. Word around town is your 9 men strong. I wanna be put on in the worst way. Since the first day, I think it was a Thursday. You be that brother that I wanna see.
You are listening to the 30 plus WTF show. Malika.
I like the way you be with all that personality. But I got flavor too. You need to go with me.
Good evening, good evening. This is Malika, Brittany, and Lonnie, and we are the 30-plus WTF show where we talk about what is necessary. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Malika, how you doing?
Fantastic, lady. How are you? I know
Wonderful.
You're a little under the weather today.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, and that's the question on my mind.
Oh, Lord. I'm
yeah.
here.
No, this isn't
a question.
No, it's really good. What is your go-to homemade remedy for sickness? See, this isn't bad. This isn't bad.
Okay.
So,
okay, that's
you know,
a good
when you,
one.
After you try all these drugs and the whatever. But yeah, let's. Oh, I'm sorry, Lonnie. Hey, Lonnie.
Hey, ladies. How are you? You know,
good.
You learn to shut up when women are talking. Yeah, I'm fine.
Well, you know it. You know it.
Right, right. You know, when women are talking, you just kind of sit there. I was raised by women, so you just sit there and kind of act like you're not there until they acknowledge you, and then you know, you step in.
I got
so. Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Right, Lonnie? I
right.
don't think you just sit
right.
there for anybody, but okay.
Well, you can defy, you know. Have you ever read the book, The Spook Who Sat By the Door? That's me.
Yes, sir. Is that you?
Right. Yes,
I did read
right.
it.
It's a great book.
So,
learn a lot sitting by the door.
Right? So,
that's
so
true.
Right, Lonnie and Malika, this is my question. And if I just cut off, I'm muting it because I'm probably coughing up a lung over here.
Right.
But my question
right.
is, what, after or before you've tried all the drugs, you know, whatever, over-the-counter, whatever, but what's your go-to home remedy when you're under the weather?
Malika, you want me to go
Lonnie,
first?
Lonnie, what? You go first.
It's really interesting because my grandparents believed in sweating you no matter what, you know. They put electric blankets on you. They put pots of hot water. They steam the room up, you know, and I think that, you know, that has always worked for me. It allows you to breathe
mm-hmm.
more moisture back in you. You know, plus, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but they used to give you this castor oil. Or they'd rub that stupid smelling stuff. I can't remember what that stuff is. Right up under your nose.
Vicks.
The big vapor rub. Like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I take it every time I fly.
Breeze.
Love
that,
it.
That. So that's pretty much me. So.
Okay. Good to know. Do you have a go-to?
Yeah. Yes. Definitely the sweating. There is something to that. So I will put on just layers of clothes and get up under layers of blankets and socks and just sweat it out. But I am a true believer in eating lemons when I get sick or when I feel it coming on. Yeah, just peel it. And I know it's hard to just straight eat a lemon. But I'm telling you, that vitamin C, it's more vitamin C in a lemon than there is any other fruit out there, orange, any other fruit.
Really?
And you will feel a difference. Yes, the next day you will definitely feel a lot better. Yes. Eat it before bed so it can just work through your system and sweat,
yeah,
too. And I'm telling you, if you catch it early enough, it can knock it out. But even if you don't catch it early, it can start to kick it quicker than if you're just,
sure,
taking over-the-counter drugs and, you know, any,
right,
anything else. But I'm telling you, lemons is, that is just a magic healer right there to me.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm,
good to know.
See,
you
know, I want to make a congratulatory bow to my sister Malika and the Yellowstone Live broadcast that you did the other day was beautiful. You're really doing good work, so keep kicking butt. Right?
Oh, thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, thank you. And I want to thank you guys so much because I've learned so much from working with you and Brittany, and I attained so much knowledge, and I just want to thank you all so much.
No
problem. It's a team effort, and it's about,
right,
the people. And, you know, I got a chance to interview Lonnie the other night. I've been trying to get Brittany.
Brittany's been running. Right?
Yeah, you know.
Brittany was like, I don't have makeup on.
I don't have no makeup on. You trying to get me at the bar?
Light on your face. I hear you.
She was like, yeah, I want you to do this interview. I was like, you didn't say on camera.
Right.
I would have dolled it up a little bit.
Right, exactly. Can't have your image out
next
there in the right way.
Malika, now I know you. I'm just going to be camera ready at all times because I see how you going to roll with this.
Yeah.
The whole point of the show is the voice of the people. So, you know, you're catching people in their real, raw moment and being
I will
authentic
be real
with
and raw
thoughts.
I'll be real authentic.
Be beautiful, though.
But my face is going to be beat. What? Are you crazy?
I heard that.
You act like you don't leave the house with no red lipstick on. You better stop playing. You better stop playing,
you know,
red lipstick.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, I must have
red
lipstick.
Right. So you know how it goes, right?
Yes.
She knows we're gonna get it together. I'm gonna get it together for real. I'm gonna be ready.
Okay, but what are you doing to kick your cold?
Well, I've been taking some over the counter business. I've been doing some ginger and lemon in my tea. I've been doing teas and lemon, and right now it's not really a cold. Now it's pretty much a cough. And I don't think I ever had a cold. I had some, like, allergies that turned into this cough. I think, you know, flying, trying to be worldwide, I got on the airplane, you know what I'm saying, that type of thing. That might have contributed to these issues. So today, I'm like, I felt better today, but I think all that coughing today has got me exhausted. You know, that's rough.
Yeah, it's worked.
Banging your lungs up like that all day. So, right now, I was going to take some liquor suggestions. I was like, maybe I should just do some hot bourbon or something. But I'm gonna do the lemon after this, and sweat. I'm gonna do the lemon. I think I'm going to, you know, do partial, like, hot tea and lemon and then actually eat some more of the lemon and go to sleep early. That's my thing.
Okay. All right.
That's my plan.
All right. Well, girl, I hope you get better. I hate hearing that my hosts are under the weather or ill, so everybody, we need to take care of ourselves.
Well, yes,
we do, and you know,
this is
what I get trying to be international and not being fortified before I went national. Not international. I was just doing national. But, yeah.
All right.
For now?
Mm-mm.
I feel, it's not good right now. It's not good right now. I'm going to work this out, though. We're about to make this over with today. I'm kicking this today.
Right. Well, we're going to get our guest on. I know she's listening to us and is like, Lord, what did I get myself into? These people are crazy.
Right.
Look, I'm crazy for real, and it doesn't help that I'm sick. I was like, I'm the crazy for real, and this is not, there's no filter. So I'm sorry in advance.
Well, our guest tonight is someone who is very well respected around Evanston. I had heard a lot about her through my mother. My mother's on the Art Council here in Evanston, and she said, you know, someone you need to talk to, Penelope Sachs. And I was like, okay. So, you know, we hooked up via phone, and she has such a warm soul coming through the phone. I can't wait to actually meet her face-to-face. But she just has such this care. You know how you could just feel a person's spirit even through the phone? They just feel so warm and genuine and caring. And that is Penelope Sachs. I mean, the woman is on a mission. You could just feel it and hear it in her. She's a chair of Enrich Evanston. She's a professional viola player and board member of Evanston Symphony Orchestra. And so, you know, she's a woman about town, talented, and just a beautiful soul. I mean, more than anything, is just a beautiful soul. So her and I were talking about an event coming up October 19th with Dina Robinson, who's a friend to the show, who's been on as a guest. He's a co-founder of Shorefront Legacy, and Dr. Gilo Kwesi Logan, who I'm looking forward to interviewing one day soon. Lonnie's going to hook that up.
Yes, we
are.
We'll get that done.
Yes, they're heading up an organization called Enrich Evanston, and the event coming up October 19th is about open conversation about diversity here in Evanston and race relations. And, I mean, it's a very, very important conversation that needs to be had and kept going. And I love what
did you say diversity?
Did you say diversity
or the lie of diversity?
Diversity.
Okay. I just thought I'd
start
the show with correctly. Right.
Are you taking the gloves off like that?
Well, you might as well. You know, I spent 60 years in this wonderful town, so let's talk.
Yeah, let's talk. That's what the event is about October 19th. So I'm looking forward to it, and Penelope is going to come on and share more about Enrich Evanston, and I'm looking forward to it. So without further ado, I know she's probably like, what did I get myself into? But we're going to bring her on to the show, Penelope Sachs.
Hello. Thank you so much, Malika.
Hello.
Inviting me on, you and I have been in a room together. I saw you speak when your mom did her art show at Noyes Cultural Arts Center. I saw you and your brother speak. So, I have long been an admirer of you, and I really appreciate being invited onto your show. I listen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We have to get together, and you all could just feel her soul just in her saying hello. So I'm looking forward to tonight's
conversation. Plus, she has that real warm accent, right?
Yeah, I know. Yes. You can tell that I'm an immigrant of now of about 23 years, but I'm really glad. And, yes, my remedy for cold is definitely tea. Tea with lemon.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay,
I come from
so
a culture
much.
Which drinks a lot of tea, and I think
I was going to say you drink a lot of tea. What's your favorite, or what's a good
Yes, black tea. There's a tea I import all the way from England called PG Tips. And that's my go to tea. Yeah, my husband makes it for me with lemon when I'm not well. So yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks, Malika. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm very excited about Wednesday's workshop. Dr. Logan and Dino are gonna do a really great job. And I think the important bit about this workshop is that we're really coming at it from an artistic point of view, and that's why I think your mom thought that I should talk to you, because it's Enrich Evanston is a group of arts organizations which got together about a year ago, and we really joined forces to support each other in our quests to become more equitable, looking from a racial point of view, and we pledged at that point to take an active conversation about inclusion to Evanston, and really looking at the question of can art take us beyond diversity, and I hear you, Lonnie, about the lie of diversity and help break down some of the barriers between us. And I was talking to Gilo this morning about what he and Dino were going to be doing at the workshop, and it was really interesting because the thing that he put in bold in his email to me and in italics, so you can tell how important it is to him. He said this workshop is not going to be the diagnosing of problems and prescribing of solutions. Rather, we'll be exploring together the challenges and opportunities that we have. And I really, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, both Dr. Logan, who prides himself on being a fifth-generation Evanstonian, and Dino, who, as you said, just knows, I mean, is probably the foremost expert about the history of race in Evanston. They really want to take an Evanston historical perspective to, as they say, lead us beyond diversity and deepen our racial awareness and knowledge and understanding. So I think it's going to be a really interesting evening. And yeah, we've just put out a ton of invitations there. So I know your mom's coming, Malika. So I'm really looking forward to the people who are going to be there and
seeing what we can
manage together.
You have to register for it?
No. We've decided to make it as easy to come as possible. No, it's going to be at Fleetwood Jourdain, and they say they can. I think we have a maximum of 300, and I don't think we're going to have that in the room. But yeah, no, people are just going to be turning up, and we're providing food, refreshments anyway. Heckies bringing wings. So that'll
bring some people. Wings bring people together. We were told at the beginning.
I was talking to Rev Ken Cherry, who's been a big supporter of what we've been doing, and he said the four most important words to put on your flyer is refreshments will be served. They're on there. So I think we're going to be hearing a bit from Dr. Logan and Dino. They're going to be doing some presenting, and then we're going to have people in groups, and we've got paper and pen, and we're going to be letting them to lead the discussion and really getting into, you said, exploring challenges and finding opportunities.
I just wanted to ask, how did this event come about? Like, how did you all decide to get this together?
Okay, so last September 2015, There was a conference held in Evanston called One State Together in the Arts. This is a biannual arts conference which is held all the way around the state. It's very much for the state of Illinois. And last September they came to Evanston, which was very exciting. And there was a talk by a woman called Angelique Power. Angelique was the program officer at the Joyce Foundation, and now she's head of the Field Museum. I think she's of mixed race herself. And she gave an incredibly powerful speech on racial inequity in the arts and why this matters, and, you know, really helped guide the conversation of some ways that we could address some of the issues. And I was there as a board member of Evanston Symphony, and I happened to be in the same room as several other people from other organizations. So Evanston Symphony, the Evanston Dance Ensemble, which is a ballet group based over in Dodge and Dempster, the North Shore Choral Society, which is a choir, an actors' gymnasium who are based at Noyes Cultural Arts Center and teach people circus arts. And we were all there, and we were all very moved by the speech, and we were very much aware that each of our arts organizations was really based in traditional white European culture. I mean, we're an orchestra, and we play, you know, a lot of European music, and it's very white-based, and a lot of other work, you know, ballet is obviously, you know, based from French artwork. And so we said the issues of addressing racial inequity was really hard. It was hard on those organizations. We were scared of the topic. We were aware that we needed to. I mean, each of us sits with a mission statement for our organizations which talk about bringing our art to the whole community, and we're just not. And so we looked at each other and said, you know, it would be a lot easier if we came together, supported each other, and talked about it together. So we got together after the conference and started talking. And there's an organization which Angelique talked about down in Chicago called Enrich Chicago, which is, again, a collection of arts organizations, everything from Joffrey Ballet to Old Town School of Folk Music, really diverse group. And they, too, wanted to address this issue, and they got together. And so because one should never, you know, invent things that have already been invented in a good way, we called ourselves Enrich Evanston and went down to talk to them. And one of the first things they said to us was, go get some racial equity training. You have to understand the feeling, you know, what white privilege is. You have to understand white racial identity and come to terms with that. So we did, and we interviewed people, and Dr. Logan just was a really natural fit. He's an artist himself. He has an organization called Soul Creations, and so we've been working together with him since about June. But as I said, part of it was, you know, we were aware that we were a group of white people in a room together. I have to say that GILO has helped us explore ways of looking at diversity, and we have different racial diversity. We have some Latinas in the group, but we wanted to take the conversation broader. One of the extra things that GILO suggested was that we put on a workshop, and I have to say the Evanston Community Foundation was really great. And were you aware there was an I think Dino talked about it, there was a whole selection of conversations in about July called Acting Up. Chicago Community Trust put together a series of conversations, and we were to get together and talk about issues. And again, we went to talk at Noyes Cultural Arts Center about arts and how arts could address the issue of race. And we were allowed to apply afterwards for a bit of money to put together another workshop, and that was an acting up grant, and they gave us a bit of money, and with that we were able to invite Dr. Logan and Dino to come and put it together. So I'm sorry, that's a really long answer to your question,
that's,
but that's how
that's,
it came
that's
about.
That's really great, because you helped us understand. I want to, you know, I'm kind of the, I don't know, I'm the weird guy on the show, so I'm going to thank you that the arts and, you know, being an ex-musician, there's probably more diversity in music and dance and arts than there is in anywhere else in the world, and I really believe that. You know, musicians tend to run into each other, and the love of music connects them. Now, you're right, the standard institutional things like ballet and opera, yes, you're probably very correct that diversity doesn't exist. And then I'll also warn you, I'm a fifth generation Evanstonian myself. My mother is Dr. G-Lo Logan's baby sister. So we kind of exist in the same genetic pool. And I just want, you know, really interesting to hear you say how uncomfortable conversations and these movements are going to be, because I think one of the most critical things that we really need to understand is how really hard this real work that has to be done is going to be. It's going to be really uncomfortable for a lot of people, and I don't think people even understand how uncomfortable it's going to be. And it's really going to be uncomfortable for towns like Evanston, who have professed to be a diverse place, and they were really just as segregated as South Africa and always have been. And, you know, they're now trying to get a 5-star rating, and a whole bunch of other things are going on. So, excuse my voice. There's a bunch of movement to get a picture painted of this wonderful place. And this place has never been wonderful. And it's never been diverse. And I always say to people.
Lonnie, we just lost him. We just lost the reception.
Right. I was like, I always say to people, and that's all I heard. Lonnie.
But Penelope, based on, you know, what he was saying, where he was going, you want to respond to that?
I really appreciate the fact that he recognizes how uncomfortable it is, Dr. G-Lo Logan prescribed a lot of reading after the first session that we had with him. He prescribed a lot of reading for us, and yes, it's tough reading. It really is, and I just really appreciate being able to actually say that this is an awkward conversation, and I mean, my whole body language, which you can't see, I'm sort of squirreling around here. One's so awkward the whole time, you don't want to sort of say the wrong things, but you do feel that there is a way that both using art and through art, there must be a way to have a conversation. I just want to say one example. So last year, the Evanston Symphony puts on a huge holiday. Oh, is Lonnie back?
I'm back.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi, Lonnie.
Yeah,
okay, you can go on with the conversation, or I was in the middle of a long story, but you can come back in with and finish your talk.
I guess I don't know where I ended. I don't know where I dropped out, but I was talking about, there's really diversity in the arts. There's diversity in music. People who play music, they get it. It takes a minute, but they start to get it. But the nuts and bolts of institutional diversity and allowing people into real money and to be able to eat the same, and inclusion into the economic network and things like that, that's a harder thing to do. And it's easier to talk about, you know, peripheral things than it is the nuts and bolts things. And I guess my question to you was, how do we get past the song? You understand what I'm saying? There's a siren song that we sing that keeps people placated, and we don't get to the real hard facts that when you employ people, more people of European descent employ Europeans. When you send people to prison, more people who go to prison are black. We're a little bit more than 8% of the population, and we're like 40% of the prison. We got to get to some real hard facts. And I guess my question is, how do we get there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know that answer at the moment. And I'm really hoping that we can explore. If you don't mind, I really liked what you talked about how music can speak the same language. And I just wanted to just say one experience where I did feel that we did manage to get music to cross some barriers. Every December, the Evanston Symphony puts on a huge holiday concert at Evanston Township High School. And last year, we reached out to Reverend Ken Cherry, who works both at Fleetwood Jourdain and is a very active pastor, and asked him to bring along his gospel choir to come and sing with us. And our big closing number has always been the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. And Quincy Jones made the most amazing soul version of Handel's Messiah, and there is an amazing the Hallelujah Chorus has been done as four gospel choir, and with the help of the Evanston Arts Council, we had that orchestrated, because normally it's just horns that are doing it. And all of us worked on it individually. You know, the orchestra learnt the music, and I have to say the orchestra was suspicious and worried about who this choir was that was going to be turning up. I mean, we'd heard that they, quote, didn't read music. They learnt the music in a very different way. And on talking to Rev Cherry, they were doing their side and learning their part, and they were going, oh my gosh, well, an orchestra doesn't have a rhythm section, and it's not going to be right for us. And then we actually got together a week before we did the concert, and I remember the moment very vividly. We were all on stage at Evanston Township High School. We had 350 people on the stage. We had a full white choir. We had a full orchestra. We had 50 gospel singers, and we had a very mixed race choir of Evanston Children's Choir, which is a mixed group. And we started in the middle where the rhythm section came in. And that moment when each side realized just how amazing this piece was and how much better we were all together doing it, I mean, that was just a magic moment of just people coming together, each bringing what they were really, really best at, and came together. And it took the roof off the high school when we sang it at the concert, and both sides really started to appreciate what the others could do and could bring to the conversation. And, you know, it was a real moment on both sides to try and work out why we were better together and what we could learn from each other. And I don't know what the answer is about addressing prison populations and why there are so many more black people in prison, but I tell you that everyone coming together really made me appreciate gospel music for the first time in my life.
And you know what I say to you, Penelope, and I'm not trying to be the knucklehead here, but music and our expression of our, I guess, our melodic understanding of our culture has always been accepted by Europeans in some way. They see the beauty in our dance, they see the beauty in our song, but they don't see the beauty in our personalities and our abilities and so it's not about prisons. It's about acceptance of human beings as they really are. I know you're a musician and you're not really prepared to answer these things, but you know, it's black culture has always been accepted by Europeans. It's just the one thing that they'll accept with no problem. But the actual African, the actual black person and his body and who he is not accepted. And I guess my question was as we start to use the arts to open these doors, how do we get past the you know, the peripheral. That's, I guess that's what I was asking. And it's not about prisons. It's not, and I know you may not be the person to ask this question. But, you know,
right,
this,
yeah. No,
and,
no, I understand.
You may not have the answer.
There is answer.
And I appreciate Lonnie asking it, and you may not have the answer. And but these are the questions that I feel like a lot of people of color have, because people of color realize, as a person of color, that we're always better together, that everybody's contribution makes things better, that it's not about exclusion, that it's about inclusion, but like you said in your story, that people make assumptions. People don't read music, and this is going to be all over the place, and maybe they don't understand music like we do and whatever. And all these assumptions come up, and then you can make something a bad experience. But then when it all comes together, it's like, oh, wait a minute. We're all better together. I'm just and that's part of some of the hard conversations I feel like we should be having, as well as, you know, being a person that has taught children.
I mean, we have to have them.
We have to, because it doesn't.
We have to have them, right.
Because it's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. Like these,
right.
The issues and the things that happen over time are getting worse. Because as a person who teaches, you teach them all the same, and it's in acting, it's a tree. Like, everybody's going to be a tree. We're not a white tree. We're not a black tree. We're just a tree. And so when you start by assuming different and bad things about people, then it comes out all crazy. Then it starts crazy.
And, yeah, you know, I feel really bad for Penelope in a lot of ways, and I want to explain something to you. You know, I talk to people a lot about multi-generational trauma and the issue of what's really happening. And, you know, I've been out on the street again, and I've seen the frustration and the hopelessness inside my community. And what you're hearing tonight is probably some of that frustration. And you being an artist and a person who's trying to open up the doors to, you know, real, you know, honest, open equity. But the problem is that it's reached a point of critical mass. And people really have to – this is going to be the most uncomfortable next 20 years in the history of the earth. Because people have to come to terms mm-hmm. with a set of people who have done terrible, terrible evil throughout the world. And now the problem is that the numbers of people that they did it to are starting to rise in large, large numbers. So here's what you have is you have a set of white people on this earth who their history has been one of really, it's really bad. If you really, really take a picture of what they did, it's really bad. And we're not going to go into that. But now, I don't even want to call it like this, but it's almost retribution time. It's almost time of the judge is here. And this is going to be so uncomfortable for white people. I couldn't imagine being white in the next 50 years. I just couldn't. Because people have, you know, I always use the island of Tasmania as an example. There's not a Tasmanian left on earth. But the island is owned by British people, actually, by British people, the wonderful country of England. Decided to go and kill every single Tasmanian there was. That's, you know, we can't sing that away. So, and I don't want you to feel like you have to answer all these questions, but I want you to know that the anger and the frustration is deep, and it's a lot deeper than a song, and it's a lot deeper than an orchestra, and we need to get to the real hard parts of the question. And I feel like it's unfair that you should be the one who kind of takes this, but I guess the best way I can say this is if you're inside these institutions, you're down at the place, then you can hear the frustration and you can take the message to them. Then that's pretty much that's the best thing I can say.
Okay, I really appreciate that, and I think yes, you're not the only person that has said that to me, Malika. Your mom in different words has said similar things to me, and again this is it. It is. It's eye-opening for me. It is. It's been an awkward month because you think you're starting conversations about what seems a soft subject of art, and then you start to hear this incredible frustration and anger that comes out. And I think I just need to go on listening at the moment, because I don't have the answers, but I need to hear you.
Well, I'm a really vocal person, and I'll put it to you like this, and I got to get out the wind because it sounds like I'm in a tornado, but me and Youth Organization Umbrella kind of bumped heads because I tried to make him understand what inclusion really is. They built a building on church and Dodge in Evanston. It's one of the most supposedly diverse communities in the thing. They spent $5.7 million, and they don't hire one local African-American. But yet and still, the side story is that this is a diverse, inclusive community. And so I guess what I'm saying to you is, as you start to we need to see what this really is. We really just need what this sickness and this illness really is. And it's bigger than a song. Well, people need to eat. People need to be educated in a true way. People need to stop being processed into prisons and things. And I don't know if, man, you know what's really wonderful? Matter of fact, this may be a wonderful moment because the arts may be the way to teach them. The arts may be the way to show the people who love gospel music that the person who sings the gospel music is just as beautiful and open and honest as the song itself. And, I'm a musician myself. I sang for 20 years and kind of put my daughter through college by singing at colleges and letting people step on my toe and break guitars. But, that's neither here nor there. But I just feel that we've got to get to the hard parts of the conversation. And, I know Gito always tells me you can't bull rush into the room. But the problem is the bull has a bunch of those things they stick in the bull before they kill him, and he's hurting. And he's not going. The silence and the easy conversations can't happen anymore. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, Penelope, we appreciate your efforts in trying to understand what's actually going on in Evanston and really pushing for diversity. Lonnie brings up a lot of very valid points, and and I understand you don't feel like you're the expert to respond.
and nor do I have the answer, Monica. I think it is a really, really important conversation, and I hope that Wednesday, I don't think Wednesday will, as Dr. Logan said, I don't think it's going to prescribe a solution, but maybe we can look at some opportunities that are, because you're right, there's a lot of issues there to sort out, and I don't think we're going to sort them all out on Wednesday, but I would love to feel that creative arts people and people who love the arts can find a way to start to address, even in some small ways, some issues. And if we can find more of Evanston out there, I really hope that we can start some conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Which always is the beginning of the year.
Right.
Sorry, I missed that. Go, Malika.
I just said that conversations are always the beginning of the cure.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I know that there was an event maybe a couple of months ago given by Cicely Fleming. She's running for alderman. She had put on an event where Caucasians were invited so that they can come to a place where they were comfortable to talk about the issues going on with African Americans, how they feel, just how they feel. And, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall just to hear, some of the things that were said. I don't think we'll ever know, but will this event on October 19th, do you think people are going to be that open, that comfortable to really be real? Because I think what Cicely did, I think, was brilliant, because, getting people together who all look alike, they're more comfortable.
Yeah.
Actually, like, I'll explain this. I actually went out on the street for the Evanston Live TV show, and I wanted to talk to Clinton supporters and Trump supporters. And what was interesting was Trump supporters did not want to talk to me. Matter of fact, one white woman thought I was going to stab her. She said, if I talk to you about why I love Trump, you'll stab me. And I was like,
kidding.
Can you say that on camera? Yes. So I had to go get one of my really good friends. You know, she's blonde. She's beautiful. And I said, here, I showed her how to work the camera. I said, go out there and talk to some Trump supporters. And, I mean, they were, you know, talking to her left and right. No problems talking to her. So I just found it interesting. I found it interesting for Cicely to put that event together, because that speaks volumes. And I would have loved to have, you know, gotten notes from that event, because it probably got more real than any organization meeting that has been taking place in Evanston, and we won't know what was actually said.
What is Cicely going to do with this information? Because it's one thing about, you know, a bunch of white people talking, but, you know, does she have a plan of what she's going to do with the information?
I really don't know. I think it was just to maybe help her understand more of what it is that you all are feeling about us or things that are going on. I don't know what she's going to do with the information, but I thought it was a great idea, a great concept. So I'm thinking October 19th, do you think it will get that real? Because, you know, we get very kumbaya and, you know, holding hands and, you know, talking about, you know, diversity. But I would really love to know what you all really are thinking and feeling about what it is that we're going through. I know that you're genuine and sincere, but I know that there are many who are not. And I learned that this past weekend. That was serious.
Yeah, I can imagine. I find Dr. Logan a very good moderator. And I think when I've seen him work just with the small group that we have, yes, the conversations were very real. And I felt we all felt comfortable talking in his presence. And that, as I said, you know, a load of non-whites and GLO. So I hope so. I really hope so, Malika, because I think it's I think he has a good way of working with a group, and that's what his profession is. I mean, you know, he's done all this work with the Evanston Police Force, and he works with big corporations and things. So this is not a one-off thing for him. I mean, you know, I know that he's good at this, and he's going to be in charge. He's going to be in charge of the evening. So I think it's a really interesting question that I had not thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
well,
really
looking,
interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's
go
really
ahead,
interesting
Lonnie,
that you brought up Cicely and the program to allow you know, Caucasians to talk about the issues. I think it was brilliant too, but you know, I'm giving you an analogy. It's like going to the orca to talk about the issues of the seal. Now, you know, understanding that the orca has been feeding on the seal, and he really doesn't see the issues of the seal. The seal kind of, you know, he's just kind of quietly there suffering. And so let's talk to the orca about how the seal feels. And me and Cicely bumped heads about that, you know, and I told her my feelings, and she told me hers, and we're still friends, and we're still doing the things. But what I get to what I'm saying to you, Penelope, and to people who are inside of these institutions, well, you know, I don't know what orchestra do you play for?
Evanston Symphony.
Okay, you play for the Evanston Symphony. The Evanston Symphony, one of the ways that inclusion can be involved is there are excellent African-American musicians, and they've been playing for years, and they're experts, and they're just as good as anyone who sits on that seat. But getting into the Evanston Symphony may be difficult for some of them, and we need to take down the walls that allow only a certain set of people to play. And I've never seen the Evanston Symphony, so I may be talking right out of my butt. But
no, you're not. And yes, and at some point I don't think it's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. I would like to talk to you about how we could manage that because I just read from the League of American Orchestras their whole report on all orchestras trying to bring in African-American players, and the results have been dismal. I mean, the one orchestra which breaks the rules and has done it really well is an orchestra called Chicago Sinfonietta. I mean, just in our back, you know, just downtown, and compared with all other orchestras through the whole of the United States, it alone has done a good job in bringing in minority players. And some other point, I would love to get together with you and talk about how we might make that happen, because we should. And I don't know how to make it happen. So
I'd love to.
Malika, maybe you can, when I meet you, maybe you can help me get in contact with Lonnie, or maybe via Gilo or something. We could do that, because I really would like to have that conversation with you, Lonnie.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll be glad to have it with you at any time you want.
Thank you.
See, I love it. See, we had to have the conversation to now get two influential people in the community that can help more people of color get into the Evanston Symphony. That's how it works, having the conversation and people getting together and taking action. That's what
that's
we're all about at the end of the day. Right.
I agree.
Right. All right. Brittany, you had a question?
Maybe Brittany's voice.
Sorry, I was over here trying not to cough on you all.
Not to cough on it.
Go ahead. Yeah, you all don't want to hear. You all don't want to hear this hacking over here. That's why I've been on mute. I have loved this discussion and mm-hmm. how we can make things better. And like I said before, make it better for everybody. But right now, brown people need some help and some serious help from everywhere, because it's the inequity is so obvious. And what was I? I had a point about that. The coughing has made it go away. Penelope, you all just don't hear it. It's just, it's crazy over here. What was I going to ask Penelope?
I don't know.
I just wanted to ask about, you know what? I wanted to ask you, Penelope, how long have you been playing?
Oh, a long time. I mean, Evanston Symphony is what they call a community orchestra. We all have regular day jobs, and we come together to play because we love playing, not because for a lot of us, it's not our big source of income. I mean, we have a lot of teachers and people who play and sing in other forms, but we come together as an orchestra because we really just want to play the music and play it together. And I've always used, you know, my instrument because I want to go and play together. A viola is a really central, it's a central low voice, and I just love that. We never get to play the tunes. We always get to play the harmony bit in the middle, and I just like that. I like sitting in the middle of the orchestra, surrounded by everybody, and being part of the voice that makes it sound. I mean, the harmony point makes it sound deeper and bigger in a way without being the tune. And I mean, for me, it was my way into Evanston. Yes, looking back on it, it was a way into a very white part of Evanston. But when I was brand new here, and a very recent immigrant, and I didn't know anybody and was very slowly getting to know my neighbors, the chance to join the orchestra and then, you know, the music that we make, I mean, that was a really important part of my belonging to this community. So it's been important to me, and as I said at the beginning, we're missing a large part of the community, and this has been a big year for me really starting to get to know other people and to have the conversations. And I'm really pleased sounds self-satisfied, but no, I mean, I'm recognizing that it's important, and I'm glad that I'm doing it. It is difficult. It is awkward, and I'm very aware of not having the answers, but I am glad that I am doing this.
And you know what? And I'm sorry. I love that you're doing this. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the same thing, Penelope, that it takes a soldier to stand in the battlefield and even try to field some of these questions. So I don't want you to think that
exactly.
We see this as there was some kind of failure in your ability to answer. The fact that you came on and the fact that you're willing to field some of these things is marvelous. And I want you to keep
right.
doing it. But I also want you to remember that simple things like the creation of harmony came from tribal people singing in Africa long before there's a Beethoven or a Bach or some wonderful French violinist. You know,
yeah.
these African people were singing in harmony millions of years ago. But the average person, when you go to these music schools and things, you don't learn about harmony's birth being in Africa. Most people think that harmony is some kind of, you know, European invention. That the fact of harmony is it comes from us, and which is what I was trying to tell you earlier, that they accept our musical culture. They accept it. It's you can see it all over the news. You got soul music and rap songs on big giant financial institutions commercials, but they don't accept the people. And we've got to get past the superficial. And I want to commend you for coming on this show and trying to field. You know, it's like a little leaguer trying to field hits from the Cubs. You know,
yes.
You're standing out there like, whoa, this is coming. Right. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it. And I'm an ally of yours from this day forward.
Yes.
And I will do everything I can to try to make this thing a success. So I just wanted you to know that. Okay.
Thank you.
And there are people out there who refer to themselves as experts, and they don't have the answers. So
we're
constantly having these events and meetings about, they still don't have the answers. So just the fact that you have the heart to want to get to an answer or a resolution, we love you and respect you so much for that. And I'm looking forward to see what you and Lonnie come together and work out. It's all about action and people getting together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll sort it all out, Malika, and we'll come back and tell
right.
you about it. We'll tell you what the answer is.
Right, you two together, we'll have all the answers, and we'll work it out. All right.
No,
exactly.
I just really appreciate your inviting me. It's been a matter of, I've been telling everybody about it today, and I'm very proud to come on your show. We watched your Evanston Live interviews of mayoral candidates and things, and I think you're a great interviewer, Malika, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to serving the people of Evanston as best I can, bringing more information and bringing recognition and promotion and spotlight onto community leaders such as yourself, people with heart and soul who really want to make a difference. And that's my whole point, is the voice of the people and promoting those who are really trying to make some things happen. So thank you so much, Penelope, for coming on to the show. And I definitely have to have
thank
you on
you.
Evanston Live TV as
oh,
well.
Good.
So thank
okay,
you.
Well, yes. It's like as Brittany said, you have to give me warning so I can get my lipstick on.
Oh, yeah.
See? Everybody understands
lipstick. Oh, my God.
Penelope, thank you so much for backing me up.
Okay, thank you.
So cool.
Penelope,
yes.
Tell us the details for the event on October 19th so everybody in Evanston can attend, come out. You got something to say, this is the time to come out and voice what's on your mind, what's on your heart. So tell them where to come, what time, date.
Absolutely. So as you're right, this coming Wednesday, October the 19th, 6 p.m. at Fleetwood Jourdain. It'll run till about 8:30. As I said, refreshments will be served. We have childcare. It's free. Just turn up. It will be, everyone will be very welcome.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I'll be there with bells on.
Oh, good. Okay, well, Lonnie, make sure you introduce yourself to me.
I will definitely do that.
Okay.
Listen, if everybody else in the room doesn't go, there he is, Penelope. That's that guy.
That's that guy. Okay.
You can't miss Lonnie.
Thank
you. Not miss Lonnie.
Right.
Thank you so much, Penelope. We appreciate you.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you, thank you,
cheers.
Penelope. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting. I feel like
yes.
You know, she is an angel for even being able to walk into the room. You know,
right.
I say this all the time that real people who are really trying to make change,
right.
It's really hard. It's hard for them. It's hard because, you know, just like Brittany had said, you know, the African American community needs real, real serious help. It needs investment. It needs dollars. You know, it needs. We can't sing this away. And you know, I commend Penelope for coming in. You know, and I know my frustration comes out everywhere I go, and people go, "Lonnie, you seem to be really, really tuned
Lonnie,
up." But you know,
Lonnie, you came out swinging on her for real. You came out swinging on her like she did it to you. You did.
Well, see, I know, and I'm going to try to explain that because. You know, I'm at the point in my life where I no longer care if Caucasians are coming. Right, I really don't. I'm at the point in my life where I have to understand that, you know, my people have suffered enough, and I am not going to put cream in this coffee not one more time. And if it makes people uncomfortable, I'm
totally
sorry.
I totally understand what you're saying and where you're coming from, but I was like, ooh, okay, Lonnie. I know. And I know it's not the time for
no.
I love that cream in the coffee,
no.
even though I really like cream in my coffee. But it's not time
good.
For that as far as what we're talking about. It's time for some action, some change,
right.
some real discussion. Because
and anything else,
because
and
like
anything
you
else, and
sorry,
anything else, anything else is really bullshit. And I'm, oh, excuse me for cussing.
Yeah.
But. It, you know, it's like my grandmother used to tell me all the time. She said, if you're going to deal with an issue, deal with an issue. And it's time for us to deal with the issue. You know,
people
I was watching.
Are suffering.
Yeah,
you know
and it's
mean?
Just crazy.
People
and
are suffering.
Between the mental health
time.
Issues and the drug issues and the shooting issues and the violence issues and these people losing their homes, ain't no more time to sing.
Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right, and I totally agree with you. For real. So, and I love that she was really trying to answer all these questions. I felt like she was taking notes. It was so cute, and she is sweet, Malika, and she really is trying to, she is doing something by making events like this happen. She is totally doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
Lonnie, I don't know if I want to talk to you, though, talking like that. I'm just saying. I don't know if I want to be...
You know, this was what's crazy. What's really crazy is talking to me is easy. Dealing with the anger of these young people is not going to be nearly as easy.
No. Right. Because they're frustrated. They're frustrated to the point where they don't even value, like, life at all. So it's a totally different discussion with them.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yes, that's on a level. I don't even know how to reach,
you know,
or
start,
it's hard to even have the conversation because some people don't even want to acknowledge that they can't be reached right now. You know, it's that's a tough one. That's a whole nother event that no one's had. I find that interesting. No one in Evanston has had
and no one wants to have it
on that.
Really,
no one wants to have
you
it.
Mean like let's talk to the young people, let's get them some help, let's see what they need.
And
like
not
that
only that,
kind of
let's just face the truth. Here's a fact. Mm-hmm. The average income for an African-American in Evanston, Illinois is around $33,000 a year. The average income for a white Caucasian in Evanston is $133,000. These are, this is a, This is a fact. So
when
a guy gets in trouble that's making $33,000, you understand? He's getting in trouble when he misses one house note, he can lose his home. When a guy who makes $133,000 gets into a little trouble, that means his car is dirty. You know, it's just we got to get to the real. And if we're not going to get to the real, the problem is, you know, it's like the winds of a tornado starting to collect. You know, from the north a little bit, 30-mile-an-hour wind. From the south, another 30-mile-an-hour wind. You know, from the east and the west, 130. And what's going to happen is you're going to end up with 110-mile-an-hour tornado if you don't deal with the 30-mile-an-hour issues. And you know, I know I sound like sometimes I sound like I'm really, really mad, but I'm not mad as much as I am frustrated. And there's no more time for milk and toast. The milk and toast conversation need to be put up, and we need to go really hard onto what can happen, you know, and how we can make changes.
So, Lonnie, what do you want to hear, like in the conversation, like okay, on October 19th,
They won't. I already know for a fact that they won't. They will not go to the issues that I'm. Here's. Let's just talk facts. Northwestern University, which sits in Evanston, Illinois, it has a $7.3 billion construction fund for the next, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. Northwestern by itself could literally put together a commission and put people to work up there that would change the direction of this failure of this community. We're losing 1,000 people a year in African-American communities in Evanston. 1,000 people a year is the largest loss of any set of people in this town. So if these people really want this diversified town that they scream and holler about, then we need to put up roads for these people to make money to stay in this town. If not, then we're lying. Then it's a lie. You know, and I'm at the point now where I don't want to hear another lie. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to hear another lie. People right now shun me because I don't accept bullshit. You're not going to sing to me anymore. And you know, and then
well,
at the same
the
time,
thing, the thing that you're saying about Northwestern is, when have they ever done anything for this community but get information and gather it and use it to their advantage and the property and the place? So why would you think it's going to be any different?
No, let me explain something. Listen, I want you to understand that once upon a time there was an ask. We're past the point of asking. If you're going to want 5-star ratings in Evanston, you're going to want the country and things to see you as this and that, then you're going to either be this or that or stop the lie. There's no more asking. And Northwestern is a part of Evanston, Illinois. Don't you believe that Northwestern and the Chamber of Commerce don't sit down and talk? Northwestern moves this town. So then if Northwestern says that it's not going to do this, then Northwestern needs seriously bad publicity on what they're really doing. And the African-American community needs to arm itself to provide that information. Let the world know that it's a lie. You know, so that you can't stand on these Big Ten sports radios and show this little African-American running back when you're killing or allowing the death of an African-American community that's less than a mile away from your school. It's bullshit.
Right.
It's just bullshit.
No, I totally agree. I agree.
And you've got on ESPN or ABC News, Shapiro is standing there smiling, and you know, but the kids at Northwestern know it. Do you understand? The children at Northwestern know it. They're forcing Shapiro to divest in things that don't allow true change. They're sitting in front of his house. There's real movement going on, and people just don't get the students didn't get the press. We're sitting on Shapiro's lawn and making him and divesting in evil racist institutions and taking the money. This is all about money. And we got to stop. There's no more time for anything else but real conversation. And so when you ask me, what do I want to hear? I already know that on the 19th, they are not prepared to deal with these issues that I'm talking about. They're not prepared. But then we need to set up.
Are you coming?
I'm coming. And I'll probably be pretty quiet because I'm going to watch once again.
Like,
I'm going to watch, you know, them do this wonderful dance that Europeans seem to do. We're really trying to work on it. We are, but you're not. You're not. And African-Americans who have studied this, you know, I've been in this social service industry for 45 years. I don't call myself an expert, but I'm an expert. And no, I don't carry the Northwestern, but I got a PhD from the University of Church and Dodge. I tell them this all the time. I am an expert on my people, and I see what's happening to my people. And when you're ready to talk real, then I'll have a conversation with you. Till then, I'm going to stand there and look really angry. And that's where I'm at.
So, Lonnie, how come you're not running for alderman or some council position?
I am not.
I feel like you need.
I am not. I am not a politician. I am an activist. I mean, believe me, that people like myself, Bobby, G-Lo, and even, Dino, we've talked. We're trying to do other things on the other side of the fence that create real equity and give African-American communities power. But as far as sitting at a table and me being able to kind of, make deals in rooms, I'm not that guy. I don't even want to make a deal anymore. There's no more deals to make. So I don't think me being a politician would work. I think I need to keep doing what I'm doing. I need to build a vehicle that allows for people to work their way out of this, and that's what I'm working on. And one day we'll talk about that. We can't produce it publicly yet because the lawyers are trying to get it together. There's a lot of ins and outs and things. So I'm not speaking about it loudly, but the collective has been born. Let me just say that to you, on the radio show, that the collective has been born. Now it just has to walk out of the hospital and show itself, and it'll show itself real soon.
Okay. Was it what
okay.
we talked about at the Caribbean restaurant?
We talked about it in small ways, but it's even more advanced now because it's not only an investment and a capital building vehicle, but it's a re-education vehicle and even a mental health vehicle. Because I as sad as this makes me, I have to tell the truth that this multi-generational trauma has driven my people crazy. We are in some ways insane. And that hurts. That bothers me in deep ways to say that. But it's the truth. If I'm going to face the truth about Caucasians, I got to face the truth about African Americans. We are crazy. It's made us nuts. Our kids are killing each other. But I understand what created it. And what I'm trying to tell people is that we have to get rid of the cause. It's like having a cold. If you clear up your nose and you clear up your cough and you still get, if you still have the virus inside of you, the cold comes back. Do you understand? And that's what European mindset has always been. They don't want to cure the cold. They want to cure the symptoms of the cold. In other words, let me get your nose to stop running, which means, in other words, I'm going to give you ESCA and give you a few coats so you're not cold in the winter. Or I'm going to give you a link card that allows you to buy food. So we're solving the symptom, but the actual disease itself is not touched. This is how the European mindset continues to keep us almost busy. You know, saying, okay, you're hungry, here's a link card. But the link card makes you dependent on a system that really doesn't give a good hoot about you. Now my people are sick. We're trading link cards over on Church and Dodge like they're credit cards or gold cards from Saks, and they're not. And we're losing our focus and our understanding of what it takes for a culture to be alive. They've ripped our culture apart. And, I don't know why you guys are starting Lonnie on this. I do not know because I can talk about this. We'll need another show for me to talk about this. And we need to, especially African Americans, we need to get together ourselves. I told someone else, there's 37 black millionaires in Evanston, Illinois. 37 of them that are my mother and those guys' age. 37 of them. If they were to just get involved in a vehicle of some kind that would allow these people to make money and get jobs and create business, we'd be out of the problem ourselves. But those same 37 are the same people you see being brought up in front of these city council and school board meetings as the great black guy who made it. So really, in essence, he doesn't want any company on that podium. He wants to be the guy seen as the black guy who made it, but there are 1,000 guys behind him who didn't. You understand? So we got some sickness, even in the ones who made it. You guys, now I'm sweating. Let me just tell you what happens to me. I start getting, I don't know, it's like some kind of high. It takes me over. I don't want to do this today. I need to calm down. So.
Okay. Well, you already did it.
I was like, please take a deep breath.
Well, we appreciate your point of view, Lonnie, always. I learned so much from this show. Everyone who has a voice and speaks, it enriches me. And every time I get off, you know, I have my glass of wine and I'm just sitting thinking about everything, everything Penelope said, everything Lonnie said, everything Brittany said, and, you know, I just try to process it because the points of view are so interesting and real and so real. So I'm looking forward to October 19th because I know it's going to be
I am too.
it's going to be interesting. And I haven't met Dr. Gila. I've had the pleasure, of course, of meeting Dino Robinson, who's an amazing leader in the community. So I'm looking forward to meeting Dr. Gila and seeing what can come out of. Yeah, I want to see what comes out of October 19th. Mm. Looking forward to it, looking forward to it. Brittany, are you attending if you're feeling better October 19th?
If I'm not coughing up a lung, I'm going to be there.
Okay.
But I hate the people that know doggone well they don't need to be around people, and they come in and they're coughing and being nasty. So
right.
I'm not a person. I stay home. That's a hint out there, listeners.
Thank you.
If you're out there,
thank you.
Just stay home. Don't spread it around. So, you know, if this is better, then I will be there with bells on. That's what I'm about to get the tea together right now. But, yeah,
mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not doing all that, then, yes, I will be there, ma'am.
Yeah, so now we told you, get that black tea. Get that black tea.
I know. I need some black tea. I'm just not going to get it right now, though. I'm going to right now.
So you're going to go to bed first, huh? I might get
I'm
it tonight.
I'm going to go to bed. Right? So,
feel
tomorrow.
Better, feel better, Brittany. Feel better.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And hopefully
yes,
I will
yes.
see you Wednesday for sure, Lonnie. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun, you know. And the wonderful
is.
Thing is my cousin knows just how goofy I am. You know,
mm-hmm.
G-Lo knows me. And I know he's going to give me that look like, this ain't the place. We're going to get this together slowly. Because he's a patient. He's a lot more patient than I am. He understands
sure.
that this issue is thick and deep and that it can't be solved quickly. And I'm like the guy at, you know, I always say the example is, you know, I saw this poster when I was a kid, two vultures sitting on the fence, and they say, you know, damn this patient shit, I got to go kill something. And that's just how I feel.
Wow.
You know,
and on that note, we're going to end on that. Lonnie, it's always
yes.
a pleasure. Your point
mm-hmm.
of view and your lovely, melodious voice is always wonderful to hear.
Oh, wow. You're starting to make me blush.
Oh, stop it. You know it's great. You know you got a great voice. Malika, it's always a blast,
mm-hmm.
honey. I am gonna.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get this together. Our listeners, thank you for listening. Every Monday at 7:30, we appreciate you. We would love again for you to come out this Wednesday night, 6:00, Fleetwood Jourdain Community Center in Evanston to talk about equity in the arts. We would love it. So again, thank you for listening. This is 30 plus.
What the fuck?